WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Sierra Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where your host here was going to make some reference to Edgar Allan Poe's famous poem in regards to the Ravens' victory tonight, but since it's taking up half of my Facebook feed right now, fuck it. This is the Omega, the be-all and
Omega.
The be-all and all of the WTR Network, and joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Football is now over.
You don't let me down.
Pretty much.
And we have Lindsay.
I'm still waiting for Taker to rise out of the 50-yard line, goddammit. It's going to happen.
I thought it was Sabu. Or if Jericho is just going to stand there in the entryway with a glowing jacket.
Somebody made that a meme.
Of course. God, I've seen way too many blackout jokes already.
Yes, and Jenkins is right. We did have Kane's Pyro as well.
And, of course, as always, the one and only, thank God for it, Tim Stein.
Yeah, they broke the mold. I'm not letting you know whether or not it was before or after they made me. I think that'll be up for you to decide. And all you guys in the peanut gallery, keep your opinions to yourselves right now. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Super Bowl edition of Real Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, gang, you know, give it up. Golf clap for Rock for the intro.
That was good, Rock. That was well done.
He got creative tonight during the football.
He's been working on that since halftime.
Oh, come on. He's had an hour's worth of halftime to work on it. Think about it.
Yep.
So that was an interesting football game.
It was a good football game at the end. It was kind of boring in the first half.
It was really, really, really boring until Undertaker decided to make his cameo. For those of you who said Shield, fail.
Actually, think of who that would have been for Vince. Just imagine that. You know, you have The Undertaker make his big comeback at the Super Bowl as an advertising gimmick. Think about that.
That would have been kind of neat. Actually, yes.
Fuck you all, he's not coming back at Chamber, he's not coming back at Raw, we're gonna have him show up at the Super Bowl.
There you go.
He comes out on the WrestleMania chariot with a bunch of ravens attached to it.
Yeah.
You see all the football players from both teams just laid out onto the field. As the lights come up, the head coaches for both teams are being chokeslammed simultaneously.
Yeah.
Well, if everyone is just spontaneously knocked out, it'd be the Ultimate Warrior showing up.
There's a joke there somewhere.
I don't know. I reckon, who was it on the Ravens that did that 109-yard touchdown? I reckon he could give Warrior a run for his money. Literally.
Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, somebody stuck a rocket up his ass. What the fuck?
Holy cow.
That's called San Francisco fail.
It's why it pays to have a special teams coach as your head coach in certain cases like tonight.
Yeah. So, for those of you who are tuning in, maybe possibly for the very first time, there's a very good likelihood there are a couple of people who've never heard us before. I think it's fair to warn you that we're somewhat uncensored. This is not a family show.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, we got Dynamite Dan, or Superfly Dan, depending on what day of the week it is, I guess. He's going to actually make his WrestleTalk Radio debut in just a few moments, and so we'll have a few people to catch the interview with him. Don't worry, everybody. We're a little late because of the football game, but we will have Superfly Dan on momentarily. And for those of you who are wondering, well, who the hell is Superfly Dan? Go check out www.canadianallpro.com. He's a member of the Canadian All Pro Wrestling roster, and he's the guy that actually fought Maverick Mike Briggs. Those of you who watched the live internet stream of the last Canadian All Pro Wrestling show, you might be a little familiar with him, and of course you'll become more familiar as we keep doing that. Just wanted to put that out there.
Which one of the little blurs was he again?
Which one of the which?
Little blurs was he again?
Oh, yeah, you're like making some kind of reference to the quality of the video, are you, Lindsay?
Just that it was too far away and we couldn't see. He wasn't mediocre red, was he?
No.
Mediocre red. I remember him.
Mediocre red.
Well, Amazing Red is already taken, and Fantastic Red was a little overrated at the times. We came up with Mediocre Red.
Well, damn mediocre. He's damn good, as a matter of fact. But, I think he was in Black and White.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Okay. Just sure.
He was that guy. Okay.
Rocky was saying okay for some reason, I take it?
Nothing.
No, nothing at all?
It's
okay.
Funny. Yeah, and people can get more information about the show that's coming up Saturday night on CanadianAllPro.com.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot of more fun. And so if you're in the Calgary area, you should come to the show, and that's all there is to it. No two ways about it, dudes.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw this question out to everybody. What was your favorite commercial tonight?
I must refrain from attempting to answer because I was watching the Canadian feed. Yeah, which overrides the American feed.
Yeah, you were watching the lesser quality feed. So the people who watch the American feed...
The GOAT commercial.
Daniel Bryan was in a commercial for the Super Bowl?
No, but he should have been.
Kane and Daniel Bryan also should have probably been in the Oreo commercial that was done in the library.
Yeah. By the way, I just found out today Dr. Shelby has a Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome.
He does. Everyone should follow him. I believe it's Dr. Shelby Tweets.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And he followed me back, which is amazing. So, aha!
Aha. Uh-huh. You're really all happy and pleased that he's decided to follow you back?
Yes!
Okay.
Dr. Shelby! He's awesome!
Okay, well, if you got enough time on your hands to waste reading out other people's tweets, then, well, that's all good.
That's all I do. I have it on my phone. That's what people of my age range do? We just read our phones.
Now, that is just like you guys need a life if that's all you do.
I can't afford a life. I don't have any money.
Yeah, back in my day, we didn't have cell phones, so. And we didn't have something like Twitter or any other kind of social media or any of that crap. We actually lived life.
I can make a crack, but I'll be good. You,
yeah, that's right. Behave yourself.
It's really hard to keep a conversation up over carrier pigeon, Tim.
Well, we had regular telephones. I mean, the cell phone was around, but it was just like what you did was you used a telephone to make telephone calls. You didn't use a telephone to type.
You mean
you know the feature that really gets me is the fucking walkie-talkie.
Hey, I
you're using a phone.
I'm sorry, just that's a chuckle right there. That last link that you posted, Mace, that was good.
To drag back onto the topic, best commercial, definitely got to go with, like, the Doritos commercial with the goats. Definitely top commercial this year. Best movie trailer, Iron Man 3. Only if you get the extended one off Facebook.
Well, yeah, he spends like 30 seconds staring into the camera, and that's like...
Shut up! It's hot! Just shut up! It's hot!
I was going to say, for some viewers, that's all they need.
Yeah, okay.
It's Robert Downey Jr. / Tony Stark just glaring hotly into the camera. Shut up!
I don't know, but, well, that didn't do anything for me, thanks.
Did all I needed for me. Sold. Yep. Shut up. Oh. Take my money. I will be in the theater the day it comes out.
I am neither a female nor from San Francisco. So, yeah.
Hey, but weren't you supporting them?
Well, I said go 49ers. I didn't say go San Francisco. I said go Niners.
But they're from San Francisco.
Yeah. My sister actually...
Lindsay, he comes to part of the show where Tim backpedals like a motherfucker because he picked the losing team.
Hey, they didn't win, so what? My sister thinks it's an absolutely awesome thing that Baltimore has become the only city to win both the CFL Grey Cup and the Super Bowl championship. And I'm like, who cares?
What's the Grey Cup?
Yeah, there you go. It's a 100-year-old trophy, 101 years old now.
I can make another group, but I won't.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so I was cheering for the Niners and they lost. So what? Big deal. It happens.
You also cheered for the Packers and they lost?
And before that, I was like, go Pack, but I am a Green Bay Packers fan. I don't know why. I just like them. I just cheer for them.
It's Tim's fault I didn't get Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl, you bastard.
It's, yeah, not my fault. Although I'm starting to think that you guys are putting truth to this rumored curse.
Well, you know, the facts don't lie, Tim.
Yeah, there you go. Basically, everybody, what it boils down to is if there's a sporting event going on and I'm picking a team, cheer for the other one. Is like put your money on the other team.
It's why everyone doesn't, you know, cheer for the Flames, because you cheer for them and they don't win, so everyone else...
Well, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles made a really impressive showing this year, too, Rock.
Oh, I know. They went a strong 4-12 this year. It was tremendous.
Yeah, so
fired a head coach, you know, getting rid of a quarterback. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, so there you go. That's TFU yourself.
Although I'd like to cut in and just say that for a rookie quarterback who's only had 10 starts, including the Super Bowl, Colin Kaepernick did pretty damn well.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
And he's going to be someone to watch in the next couple years because San Francisco should make every effort to hold on to his ass because I think his nerves got him in the first half, and then once he settled in, they came back.
Yeah, you could tell he was a rookie.
You could tell.
And it's like the big show, and it's like, oh, dude, I'm here. Now what?
Yeah, it's like he just once he was able to settle himself in and get over his nerves, he started clicking and they started coming back, and that they got to make it a nail biter at the end.
Well, I'm thinking if the blackout had lasted just an extra 5 minutes.
Well,
they couldn't have ran that even.
It would be on the West Coast right now.
Well, Taker was going to show up and then he changed his mind. So
yeah, he's been doing that a lot lately.
See, what that was a classic fake out, you know, is what that was. And it put the Baltimore Ravens off the game.
They couldn't have written this, you know, the power outage any more perfectly. If you're a writer, you know, told a great story.
Yeah, so there you go. But hey, it turned out, the second half of the game turned out to be very entertaining. The first half was, it was sleep inducing.
I could make a comment there, but I won't.
Why must you attempt to take a shot at my age with anything I say?
No, I wasn't taking a shot at you. I was being, you know, going to take a shot at someone else. But I'll be good.
You're going to take a shot at somebody else.
Mm-hmm. But I'll be good.
Well, by all means.
No. I'll wait till Tuesday.
Ooh. Well, there are two different people. You know, that narrows it down to two people.
Just move on.
Three, if you really want to push. So.
All right, so we said the best commercial. What was the worst commercial?
It's pistachios. That goddamn Gangnam Style with nuts.
Calvin Klein or the GoDaddy?
I'm sick of Gangnam Style no matter what it's about. I don't care. Fuck.
Everyone's in the chair saying the GoDaddy commercial where the nerd and the hot chick kissed.
Although the truck commercial was a really close second.
Yeah, the farming one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Like, really? That was bad. I would agree.
Well, it's like they're talking about farmers and all this shit, and you're like, okay, is this an ad for farmers, or what is an ad for? And then they show the truck, and you're like, what the hell?
It was like they were too clever, trying to be too clever with it, and it just didn't work.
Was there not a Samsung commercial that debuted tonight?
There was with
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd.
Yeah, that one made it to the Canadian broadcast.
Oh, because, you know, phones are the same anywhere you go. That one wasn't bad.
I'd also put the Best Buy one only because you're looking for somebody who wants 50 Shades of Grey. What the fuck?
They use, what's her face, from Park and Rec?
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler, yeah.
I thought the Rock's commercial was cute.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
The Rock had a commercial?
The Rock had a commercial for milk, yeah. Just the picture of him running around in the jammies was pretty cute.
No, the punch at the end.
Yeah, the punch at the end.
Where it's like, okay, ladies, I gotta go to work, and then just punches an alien and walks out of the room. There you go, I praise The Rock. Is everybody fucking happy now?
It was about damn time.
Oh, there you go.
Show, TV show commercial. It's a tie between How I Met Your Mother because it's another Robin Sparkles episode.
Yay!
Or Two Broke Girls, Kat Dennings.
Why don't we?
I would do such bad things to that woman.
The Big Bang Theory one was pretty good too.
I missed that one though.
Which one is she? Is she the blonde or the brunette? The
brunette.
Okay. I don't know, I don't watch the show, so. I thought the Oz Great and Powerful commercial was cool.
It was. And halftime show?
A hooker with an epileptic fit? that was my phrasing for it.
It's like, oh yay, there's the expected Destiny's Child reunion that we all knew was coming. And yeah, they're still, they're just dancing. They're not singing, they're dancing.
Well, she sung the final song, sort of.
Kind of.
Mind you, did you happen to notice that during the Destiny's Child reunion, the other two girls' mics were significantly lower than Beyonce's?
How could they be lower than hers? Hers wasn't even on.
Exactly.
Alright, but we'll talk more about that after our interview.
Yeah, why don't we take our first quick little time out of the evening just so we can get Dandy Dan on the line. find out exactly what's going on with him. Everybody listen to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't worry, more football talk in just a little bit.
Really, Rook? Really?
So deep in your eyes, I touch on you more and more every time. When you leave, I'm begging you not to go. Call your name 2-3 times in a row.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather scream for time. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Damn,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
With the click that I hang, respect I earn, ever since I got.
Welcome to WTR Talk here at Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thanks for joining us on the line. Now, as promised, I don't know what the hell to call you other than Dan, Mr. Superfly.
No problem.
Superfly Dan, yeah. He's everybody, he's an Alberta independent wrestling star. He has worked with Stampede Wrestling, PWA Wrestling, and Heart Legacy Wrestling. He's also now currently a member, one of the newest members of the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling roster. And so officially welcome to the show, Dan. How you doing tonight?
Oh, very good. Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Really glad that you're able to join us. Just, you know, standard stuff to start with. How long have you been wrestling for?
I had my first match in September of 2001 for the Mat Rats promotion that was run by Ted Hart and Graham Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it pretty much ended almost. I wrestled on the last show that they had. but then after that, I went and pretty much started wrestling for Stampede Wrestling after that. I did a little bit in between with Rick Titan and Bad News Allen, and then was Stampede Wrestling after that, like from 2003 on until it finished in 2007 or 8.
It was, I think it was about 2008. They did the last show at the Acadia Recplex.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah. And, of course, you've rubbed shoulders with somebody who's currently now in the WWE. Just to give everybody listening a bit of a connection, we call him, nowadays, I guess, we call him Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. Yeah, Jinder. It's really nice to see some of the guys that you worked with and traveled with and everything like that make it to the big time. Me and him did a lot of tag matches together in Stampede. And in PWA, actually, too. But yeah, again, it's nice to see him, like, you know, where he's at now. I love his air guitar.
Oh, yeah. He's probably got just about one of the best air guitars out there just because, it's entertaining, if not good.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So, of course, back then we knew him as Tiger Raj Singh. And if I remember correctly, he is the nephew of the Great Gama.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and I just got, I have been wondering this since 2006, Dan. How the hell did you become a member of the Karachi Vice?
It happened in 2005, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember, it was a long time ago. I think I ended up having, me and Randy, my brother or whatever, we were doing some tagging, and we had, having arguments and disagreements and whatever, and we ended up having a match against each other in which the Karachi Vice came out, and I think they gave him like a fireball or something, and then after that I was a part of the Karachi Vice.
Yeah, and who came up with the name Mahatma Dandy?
Bruce Hart.
One of the times he actually hit the nail on the head, I think, eh?
Yeah, I think so.
So, concurrent with Stampede Wrestling, and then after Stampede Wrestling exclusively, you moved on to work for the Edmonton-based promotion, Prairie Wrestling Alliance, for good old Mr. Kurt Sorokin.
Yeah, that's right. I wrestled there. I did a lot of tag team stuff with my partner at the time, Matthias Wild, who's in FCW or NXT now as Mike Dalton. We were called Super Wild, and we had a series of matches with Chucky Blaze and Randy Van Danielson, including a ladder match that left me with 20 stitches and 16 staples in my head to close a cut. We got to have a match against Lance Storm and Jerry Lynn too, which was super cool.
Yeah. Now, all of your time wrestling in the Alberta indie scene, what would you say would be will have been your most notable feud to date?
Probably the tag team one against Chucky and Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
That was just like, we were having wicked matches with them every show, and the fans were just so into it. They hated us and loved them, so it worked out pretty good.
Well, of course, they were two of the founding members of the Young Lions in Stampede Wrestling, if I remember correctly. Founding members, but two of the initial members. And yeah, that turned out to be quite a boon for everybody. That was considered to be a young lion, and everybody pretty much moved on. You were just a little bit too old to be a young lion when that.
That was happening like 2006 or I think around then, and I'd already been around for a couple of years. I wasn't actually all that much older than everyone, but I just already had like a little more experience or kind of like notoriety. Like I'd already kind of done a little bit, I suppose, that I wasn't really considered a young lion at that point. even though I was, I think I was only like 18 years old.
Yeah. And of course, Chucky Blaze, in 2006, he was like 15 years old and kicking Gama Jr.'s ass.
Yeah, that's right.
He was having some pretty incredible off the hook matches at 15 years of age. It was incredible to watch this young kid in the ring. So just standing out there doing the play by play commentary with a certain individual from another website. It was hard not to just lapse into fandom to watch him make all these fantastic plays and everything. But that's a different story for a different time. You made your debut with Canadian All-Pro Wrestling December 29th at our New Year's Evil show. You threw your hat in the ring to get into the Royal Rumble, and from there you wound up in a match somehow with Maverick Mike Briggs. And I don't know, but this looks like it might be the blossoming of another feud that you're getting involved with here. You want to talk about what's the animosity? What's up between you and Maverick Mike?
Well, I don't know. We were scheduled to have a match that night or whatever, and which is fine, you know what I mean? No big deal. And then once we were in there, I guess we just couldn't, neither of us really got the job done, which I'm not too pleased about, but we ended up having a double count out.
Yeah.
So I guess we got to come back and have another match and see who the better man is, which will be me.
Yep, we've got the rematch all good, set up and ready to go, and I'm not placing any bets on who's going to wind up winning that one. that's for sure, but I'm definitely expecting one hell of a really good knockdown dragouts this coming up Saturday at the Legion downtown.
I'm really excited for it. The last time we were there, I really enjoyed the venue and the crowd and had a really nice atmosphere for the show. I think everyone had a good time.
I think the crowd definitely helps to make the show, and it wasn't the biggest crowd that I've ever seen in an indie show, but growing by leaps and bounds, I'm expecting the Saturday show to be pretty darn busy, as a matter of fact. So it should be a heck of a lot of fun. So but after Canadian All-Pro, you actually worked the Heart Legacy Wrestling debut show at the Pavilion.
I did, indeed.
And how was it for you just walk into the Pavilion after, you know, all the years of Stu Hart's original Stampede Wrestling being held there every single Friday night?
It was pretty crazy. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was a lot of fun to do that show, and it was, you know, to walk out and just see the place be filled, and you know, like, it was a great night. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things being said about the show and whatever, but I personally had a great time that night, and I thought it was just awesome. And to think, you know, of all the matches that did happen there and all the guys that came through there, and at the beginning of the night they did a tribute to the legends and that kind of stuff, and I'm sure, you know, for those that know and those that don't, my father-in-law is the Dynamite Kid. And so I walked around the ring in his honor with my fiance and our little girl to start the show. And when they said his name, and the people still were cheering, like, he got one of the loudest ovations of the night, and he wasn't even there. It just gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. Well, I was about to ask you how it felt walking around in Dynamite's ring gear. Basically, that was his, wasn't it?
No, that's mine. It just meant to look like his.
Okay, because, yeah, it was pretty damn bang on from what I can remember when, of course, he teamed up with Davey Boy Smith in the original Stampede Wrestling and then in World Wrestling Federation as, the British Bulldogs. And so, yeah. But, yeah, no, that had to have just given you one heck of a buzz right down your spine. Just to have all of those people cheering just because you're his son-in-law.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And it was, the first time that, my fiance walked me to the ring as my valet or whatever. And, she'd never done anything like that before. She didn't have much interest in, being a part of the show. She always just likes going to watch, but she thought that that'd be a cool experience and, you know, something she could do for her dad and for the fans and that kind of stuff. And she thought it was just wicked.
Yeah. So, what do you feel the future holds for Superfly Dan?
Not too sure exactly. Hopefully, the bookings here start to pick up a little bit. I'm not wrestling with the PWA anymore. Finished with them for now anyways, and started working with Canadian All Pro, and then RCW also has their debut show the Saturday after.
Yeah, on the 15th at the Marlboro Community Center.
Yeah, so I'll be making my debut for them, and I don't know. We'll just see. I'm not too sure exactly, but I'm looking forward to it, whatever it is.
Okay. Well, I think Canadian All Pro Wrestling might wind up invading Real Canadian Wrestling Show just to see what happens.
Oh boy,
that might be interesting. So, as you may or may not know, Canadian All Pro Wrestling yet has to name a world heavyweight champion. Do you see yourself throwing your hat in the ring for the heavyweight title anytime?
I could. I never really considered myself to be a heavyweight, but if the opportunity arose, I wouldn't turn it down.
Well, let's actually drop the term heavyweight. We'll call it the world title. Kind of sort of like what they did with Rey Mysterio when he won the world title. They dropped the word heavyweight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What can we expect to see from Superfly Dan this coming Saturday night at the Legion downtown Calgary?
I'm going to, do my part to make sure that all the fans there go home with smiles on their faces. And also do my part to make sure that Maverick Mike Briggs doesn't go home with a smile on his face.
There you go. That sounds good. Everybody, this is Superfly Dan on Wrest Talk Radio, one of the newest members of the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling roster. And, Dan, I'd like to thank you very much for taking some time out of your valuable time here on a Sunday night to come and have a quick chat with us.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
All right, everybody, we'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere. We got a whole lot more coming your way.
Now that The Rack has won Best New Show at the Wrestling Radio Awards, the hosts promised they won't let it get to their heads.
That's right. Tune in every Thursday night for your complete, in-depth Impact Wrestling recaps and some awesome discussions on The Rack. Because I'm the Best New Show.
Wait. You are the Best New Show? What about me? I'm the Best New Show.
No, I'm the Best New Show.
No. I'm the Best New Show.
No, you're just the producer. I'm the Best New Show.
No, I'm the Best New Show.
No, I'm the Best New Show.
These two continue to keep their egos in check.
Yes.
No. Tune in to The Rack Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
We promise they will figure this out by Thursday. Maybe.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I have something broken.
Hey, everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara. The one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Speak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR's Tigers Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, thank you very much, Superfly Dan, for joining us. And now, back to our regularly scheduled football talk.
Football talk on the show?
Football talk on the wrestling show.
On the wrestling show? Who knew that happened?
I'm waiting for Mace to yell it out, but he's not going to.
I'm not
going
to.
I don't think he's back yet.
Oh, he's back now.
I'm here. And to be honest, we've probably talked more football on this show than there has been on, like, three hockey talk shows.
Well, does that really count, seeing as hockey was locked out, football wasn't?
Yes, it does.
Hey, football was locked out last year.
For how long?
But they never missed the game.
And we all say, thank God for that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
So, yeah. Hey, everybody, Brock Lesnar looks like he's back. Hey.
The excitement coming from the panel is tremendous with Brock Lesnar returning to WWE.
I just want to know if we're all full of meh to borrow Mace's catchphrase.
We had about 30 seconds of dead air, Tim. I think the opinion stands.
There you go. Okay.
I'm reserving my excitement to see how they continue the storyline, because obviously this is just the setup for Triple H to come back to face Brock Lesnar at Mania, so it's more how are they going to do it, because they've got a long stretch between last Monday and April.
Okay, so. Well, I was actually going to throw this out there just to scare you people. Chances of Brock actually facing Taker.
You're funny. Taker doesn't even know if he's doing the pay-per-view anymore, so the odds of Brock facing him are like slim to none. Because supposedly Punk's getting Taker, if he decides to do it.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, those odds are definitely sweet fuck and all, take your pick.
Which one's leaving the room first?
All of them left at the same time.
There you go. So apparently Vince McMahon has had to undergo hip surgery or some stuff like that?
He's going to be going under hip surgery. This is legit, by the way.
And it's not because of him getting F5'd last Monday night.
No, that was just the storyline reason for him to get the surgery. Apparently it's something Taker's had done. It's not a replacement. It's more of shaving things off the hip.
It's kind of like a scope job, isn't it?
Well, yeah, now it is. Like Rock said, they're shaving some bone off of his hip. Sometimes what happens, especially when you get thrown around a lot, well, you wind up with calcium deposits and growths and spurs and stuff like that that get chipped off your bones, and then they'll move around and fuse. And so they're just getting rid of all of that. Really, that's all there is to it. Not a big deal anymore. Whoop-dee.
But it's Vince McMahon, it's surgery. It's the biggest deal that's come that way with him regarding surgery in a long time.
Yeah. Now, this is something that he's been putting off for, like, years. He could have had it a few years ago. And it wouldn't have been as big a deal as some people are trying to make it out to be. That he's having it done now at, 69 years of age.
Is he really 69 years old?
Yes, he is.
That's scary.
Vince McMahon, 69. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That's kind of scary.
So a 69-year-old that needs hip surgery? Let's F5 him.
Good point.
not a big deal, not a huge problem. So, yeah, it's like if you've heard about it and you're thinking, oh, my God, now what? Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Kind of routine stuff, wouldn't you say?
It's not a big deal in regular life. I mean, it's surgery, it's routine, he'll come through it fine. It's more how are they going to play it into the storyline, because you know that's going to factor in. And you know they're going to do something with it and make it far more dramatic than it actually is. Like Vince goes into a vegetative state because of it.
Or because you got F5 last Monday, that's the setup for him needing surgery. Tomorrow they come out and, you know, like, you did this, Brock, you did that, Brock, blah, 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 blah. Time to play the game. You hurt my father-in-law. I'm going to kill you now. You know, there's your setup for Triple H returning.
That's too easy of a setup, though.
Yeah, I can see it's easy
of a setup. Sometimes you don't need it to be elaborate, though. Really, what other kind of creative freaking idea are you going to come up with to introduce Triple H back into WWE in time for him to take on Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania?
This is where I turn to our head of creative, Lindsay Ward.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm sorry, I'm hoping Omega was with me on this one. But when Tim was going through the suddenly return of Triple H and what he said, did you just get the line, "My name is Indigo Helmsley, you killed my father, prepare to die"?
Yes.
I was wondering if you'd pick up on that.
I wouldn't mind seeing them do a more dramatic story, because the Cena Rock story is going to be very straightforward. They're going right for it. They didn't do the convoluted half-assed way. So they're going right for that. That's very straightforward. We know that's coming. Taker Punk will probably be extremely straightforward, since Taker's limited in what he can do if he decides to do the match at all, and then Punk's fucked, and that Cena Rock will become infinitely more convoluted, because that's probably where Punk will land. So I wouldn't mind seeing a story between Brock and Hunter where Hunter's almost doubting himself. And you have the return of the family, because they've already kind of sort of inserted Stephanie into the story by showing her walking Vince to the ambulance after Raw. You know, she's on the video, she's holding her father's hand, she's walking him to the ambulance, she's looking concerned. So you have Stephanie now inserted in the storyline, so you can have it where Stephanie goes to Hunter and says, you have to defend the family, you have to fight for the family honor, and, you know, this is however many months removed from SummerSlam, where Hunter got his ass beat, got basically retired, and, you know, is basically kind of in the position where he's not sure. He's second-guessing himself, and he doesn't know if he can do it. And you kind of go through these series of people coming to him and trying to convince him, you need to do this. You need to stand for the family. And you can have it where it's Stephanie. You can have it where you could bring Linda in for a one-off. And what would be really cool is to see Shane do it, to come in, even though it will never happen, but have Shane McMahon come in and say, you have to stand up for the family honor. You're the only one that can.
Yeah, I don't think that China's going to let Shane McMahon out of the country anytime soon.
I don't think he's actually in China.
I think he's in New York, dude.
Yeah, I know. It was a joke. It was a really not funny joke, but still a joke. Here's a little bit of a tweak or a twist to it. Instead of Steph goading Hunter, saying you got to do this, got to do that, Hunter can still show the angst and the self-doubt and everything else like that, make it a little bit more private, though, and make some kind of sketchy resolve that he's going to do this. However, instead of Stephanie pushing him into the ring, I can see it, especially in light of what happened already last summer. Stephanie's like, no, you can't do it. Look what he did to my father. What can he do to you? He beat you last time. Who's to say he's not going to, kill you this time or whatever? And, you know, if you want more drama and stuff like that, that would be the way to play that.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd rather see Stephanie standing behind him than doubting him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a case of Stephanie's doubting him so much. It does wind up being doubt. But it's not doubting him so much as worrying, being scared for him.
That's still doubting.
Well, like I said, at the end of the day, it's still going to wind up as doubt. But you don't need to project it and portray it that baldly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they will. That's the thing. It's thinking of her acting abilities realistically and the company's writing abilities. And they'll portray it more as she's doubting him and her being the wife. I think she needs to be more behind him. If anybody's doubting him, it should be Vince, or it should be the locker room, or it should be somebody else. It shouldn't be her.
Mm-hmm.
She should be the one that's standing behind him, you know, support your man, stand behind your man, that kind of thing.
Okay, book the match itself. Does Triple H win at WrestleMania?
That's a hard one. I would say Brock goes over again. Unless he's going to go away again, which he probably is, then yeah, Hunter wins.
Okay.
I would say Hunter goes over, but that shouldn't be what happens, but that's what they'll do.
Okay. What about Omega? What's your opinion?
I think Brock already had one comeback ruined by losing immediately.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would think he'd have to win.
Okay. Mace?
Sorry, I was supposed to give a shit.
I was wondering if you were or not giving a shit, so.
No. My brain pretty much switched off the second you started talking about Brock Lesnar.
Okay. So you're
He's a multi-million dollar waste of space.
So
you don't say more.
You're still a massively huge Brock Lesnar fan. We got it.
Totally.
It's just, he's just not a fan of anything that rhymes with ock. Rock. He doesn't wear socks.
How'd you know that?
I watch you.
Remember, Omega has these cameras that he spies with us all at with?
Yeah, he watches us. I'm still trying to get the one out of my bedroom.
You're all hooked into the fake TV now.
Oh.
Sweet, so we're on the wall channel?
Sweet.
The wall channel?
Don't ask us to explain.
1 point, Omega. Tim's like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Anyway, moving along.
Next topic of the day. The feud continues between The Rock and CM Punk. Now, I'm gonna just make the assumption that Mace only half cares about this. And the only reason he half cares is because Punk's involved.
No.
He doesn't even care that much.
I want to get Omega's thoughts on what happened Monday.
Let's Omega. Let's give us your thoughts.
Anything in goofy image. What's the topic here?
Everyone's so paying attention. The Raw Monday with Rock and CM Punk.
I'll be honest, I think I kind of went into mace mode or just kind of tuned out.
Wow. So let's move on, Tim. What do you think?
Well, okay.
We're getting great analysis here.
We can safely say that WWE is trying to build something that nobody gives a shit about.
I would disagree, but okay.
Okay,
I
kinda
care.
Sorry, everybody but me. Okay, let's just put it that way, because we all know I don't give a shit about anything, and any time I don't give a shit about anything, I'm wrong!
You and Subway would get along so well right about now.
You know what? You're not wrong. It's your opinion, and you're welcome to it, and I'm not going to shoot you down for half.
No, I'm not even allowed to have that opinion anymore, Tim. No.
Oh, bullshit.
I've been told I'm not allowed to have an opinion anymore, sir.
Oh, bullshit. You're
allowed to be good little sheep.
You know what? Even have your own opinion. You don't have to have an opinion that somebody gives you. How's that sound?
Bah.
I could say something right now.
I'm not a New Zealander. I'm an Australian. Fuck off.
I wasn't even going to go there, believe it or not. No. This was actually, it was going to be a shot.
Tim, you don't take shots.
Well, yeah, no, you're right, I don't, but this would have been a shot.
Sure.
It would have been a shot.
You're just saying that so you look cool in front of your five friends.
No, I'm not saying that to look cool in front of anybody or anything. Don't be putting words in my mouth. If I want your opinion, I'll give it to you.
So I have to read the script you give me from here on out?
Here you go. Now, hold on a minute. You know, Mace is saying he's not allowed to have an opinion, and I respectfully disagree with what he says. But that's just my opinion. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean that you're wrong, Mace.
No, it means I'm wrong.
No, objectively speaking, I am really...
Okay, Tim?
What?
How about this one? Shut the fuck up, let's move on. Because I'm really trying to get past all this bullshit.
Okay. So let's...
Can we talk about the part where WWE tried to fire Heyman when Heyman doesn't technically work for WWE?
Yeah, what's up with that? How can that be,
I'm not sure how that works.
Anybody?
It's like if they tried to fire Dr. Shelby.
Well, actually, I think Dr. Shelby is technically a consultant for WWE, and I think that's what Heyman would be classified as.
A consultant?
No,
a consultant?
No.
He's directly under the employ of CM Punk, though. I mean, it's...
Is he?
That was how it was played.
It's
because he was supposed to be... Because he came in as the legal advisor of Brock Lesnar. You know, so there's no attachment to WWE at the time other than the storyline of, he's going to sue your ass.
Maybe it comes out they gave him a job to shut him up. Because that lawsuit shit was never settled. So that would be a way to kind of tie in the lawsuits, is that they gave Paul Heyman a position in the company for CM Punk as a way to shut Heyman up, or in exchange to get rid of the lawsuits. And that would be a way to tie all that back together.
Well, why don't we take a look at and talk about the setup for Heyman to almost but not quite get fired thanks to Brock Lesnar, and that's him basically having lied his ass off and being the one behind the Shield and that other guy that nobody cares about.
Paul Heyman behind the Shield with the magic footage that came out of nowhere that seems like it was shot by Hornswoggle.
Probably was shot by Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle's behind everything. He's the anonymous GM. He's the mystery cameraman.
Wait a minute. So on next week's SmackDown, is Hornswoggle going to come out and say, "It was me, Vince! It was me all along!"
Here's what I'm wondering. If you're going to have a secret meeting, why would you even leave someone in the room, whether the camera's on or not?
Are you being too overanalytical with everything that we saw?
No!
GTV Lives version 2.0?
No, no. The clip itself actually has them saying to the cameraman, turn the camera off, turn the camera off.
Yeah.
He just puts the camera down.
Yeah. But if you really wanted to do something like that, you don't have the camera move. You put the camera down low at a still frame. Like, you set the camera down in a box or something and then walked off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't even have to be the cameraman that you implicate. It could have been anyone who found the camera. So you could have played it to another storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that would make fucking sense.
So how much planning, thought, and effort do you guys feel went into this whole thing where it's finally the reveal that Heyman really is behind the shield?
An hour's worth?
3 drinks at the bar.
Oh my God.
No, I'm going with the hour theory because the way Heyman talked in that promo was the way no human being talks.
Uh-huh.
It's like when you watch a really, really bad movie where they're really forcing the plot exposition right in your face because they have no other logical way of getting it there.
Basically almost any Oliver Stone movie, in other words.
It's just a really insulting way of doing it, and an extremely simplistic way of doing it. Obviously not much thought went into it, otherwise it could have been far better structured than it was.
Okay. Yeah, because I bring this up because it just felt to me like it was like a last-minute throw together. You know what I mean, guys?
When you got Paul Heyman standing there going, when we pay the Shield, they get the job done. They get paid more than you do because they are better at their job that we want them to do, that we paid them for. You know, on these specific dates, which I will now read off implicitly. It's just the plot hammer being beaten into your face.
No subtlety or anything.
And the way Omega was putting it was, I'm acting. Trying my best to Shatner this scene up.
Shatner the scene.
I mean, I can appreciate the effort. I can appreciate the way that they try to do it in a more non-traditional way. Because, I mean, normally they walk out and they have somebody say, oh, well, you're behind the shield. I mean, at least they tried to do it in a covert and different manner. So I can appreciate that. But it felt like something out of a cheap crime thriller or a ripoff of The Godfather or something like that, where it's very mafia-esque, where, mm-hmm. you know, you have them take Brad Maddox to an undisclosed location somewhere in the arena, the Shield shows up, and they beat the high holy fuck out of him to shut him up. And then you've got the camera guy there, and the camera guy gets hit too. So I can appreciate the effort that they tried because it was different. I would have liked to have seen them do something to the footage. Either they make it grainier, or it's black and white, or it's something else. Something where it's not so polished. Because it had that little bit too polished feel to it. It would have been nice if it had to be kind of cut together, because then that would kind of give Paul Heyman a leg to stand on, where it's, oh, well, that's been edited, you know, I wasn't saying that, or that's been taken out of context, and then that kind of gives him a leg to stand on as far as, well, that wasn't me, that whole deal. But it was what it was, and I can appreciate what they tried.
So.
And plus, Dean Ambrose looked really hot, so.
I'm just trying to get past the image as Paul Heyman as the Godfather.
He'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Pretty much.
And then won't pay it.
Won't pay it. He'll make you an offer you won't refuse in 5 minutes.
Wait a minute. He's going to make the offer in 5 minutes, or it's going to be a 5-minute presentation?
No, he'll give you a call back in 5 minutes.
Here you go. Speaking about calling back in 5 minutes, everybody, we're going to take another quick little time out here. Press Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We still have Roundtable by herself and Omega's favorite. The Great Debate. Hi. Okay. Back to this.
Now I see the truth, I got it down. A different motive. Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zema Ion,
Brooke
Testmacher,
Ruby E.
Wait, who wrote this? No. I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
No Rack, named after some brush. That's awesome.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Since 1983.
Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to WTR Monday Night Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, everybody, thank you for joining us. Of course, we talked a little bit of football tonight, which was a big surprise to absolutely nobody, I suppose. Had a quick little interview with Superfly Dan. And now I think it's time we talk about how mediocre is Triple H, guys.
Which would mean, Tim...
What do I
mean? Yeah, that sounds like an opinion only a Canadian could have.
Well, yeah, there's the shot right there. You want to elaborate on that just a little bit, Omega?
Apparently, Triple H does not impress Bret Hart in the least.
You're kidding.
Apparently not.
No, apparently not.
We don't even get the bumper?
What bumper?
The round table bumper?
This is not the round table.
This is not the round table.
This is not the fancy dancy round table.
With no intro?
Mm-hmm.
This is the fact that Bret Hart has beaked off yet once again in an interview saying that he's trying to like Paul, but Paul's not the great be-all end-all, and he was a mediocre wrestler.
Gimmick infringement? Hello?
Well, that's funny that Bret says that Paul isn't the be-all end-all, because he kind of is now. I mean, you know, he's only... head of talent, he's only married to the boss's daughter, and he's only going to inherit the company when Vince finally decides he's done.
Uh-huh.
So, I told Rock this earlier, it's like, I don't think it's the smartest idea for Bret to be talking smack unless, mm-hmm. you know, Paul doesn't care, or Bret's not going to go back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it was meant as a shot so much. Yeah, I'm not defending Bret before anybody gets on that horse. I'm not defending Bret or what he said. But he wasn't really saying nasty stuff about Paul. All he was saying was that he basically wasn't as big a deal as some people claim. Funny thing about it is, when I saw this article on some of the websites, some of the comments posted didn't diss Bret the way I was expecting it to happen. They actually were saying, you know, he's right. And believe it or not, not all of them were Canadian.
I just don't understand what gives Bret the goal to say any different, because let's be honest, he's not the greatest thing out there either.
No, but the question becomes, was Bret better than Triple H?
It's hard to say, because you're talking about two different wrestlers with two different styles and two different generations.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call one better than the other. I'd call one better in his generation and one better in the other generation. Yeah. Uh-huh. If the situations were switched, Triple H would be... Triple H would be, I don't know, either too quick or too aggressive in style for the times, and Bret Hart in the modern day would be too slow. You know, just not visually dramatic in the ring.
I think Paul Hunter, whatever you want to call him, has his strengths and Bret has his. Paul's very charismatic. He's very talented on the mic, and Bret, I don't think, has that as far as in-ring work. I think Bret's better at technical than Paul is, but it's been a long time since I've seen him do technical work, so I couldn't say that for sure.
Yeah. Well, I strongly disagree with Bret when he called Triple H's match with Undertaker mediocre. Gave him a 4 out of 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, he gave the match a 4. Now, I'm assuming that he was talking about the match at WrestleMania last year, not the one previous. The one previous was, you know, it was okay. You know,
he was talking about the one at 28.
Yeah, so what was wrong with the match at WrestleMania 28? I think that was a great thing.
Because it wasn't both men at their peak.
Well,
but then
yeah.
Again, Bret shouldn't fucking complain with the match he had with Vince, quote-unquote match. So maybe Bret should shut his fucking mouth.
Yeah.
If you can't do better at your age, motherfucker, shut the fuck up.
Now, I will probably the first one to say that it was Shawn Michaels that really, really took that match to another level. If it wasn't for Shawn, maybe it would have been just like whatever so-so average match. Well, yeah, okay, whatever. But
I don't
because,
think so.
Because of Shawn's input and just the drama that was injected because of Shawn Michaels. I think personally that took the match to a different level. I wouldn't be harsh to give it a 4 out of 10. I'd give it like a 6.5, which is not damning in any sense of the word or in any context. I've seen a lot better matches, but for what it was, the match last year was really good. Better than what Brett is saying it was.
Well, did he say that it's based on a wrestling level or if it's just in general or what? Because if it's based on a wrestling level, then yeah, okay, I can see 4 out of 10. You know, Taker isn't at his peak anymore. He's definitely on the downslide. Hunter's the same. He only works a handful of matches a year. They're both basically featured attractions, so they're not going to have the same prowess that they used to, but they're still perfectly capable and able to get in the ring, and plus with Taker's limitations, I think they did just fine. It wasn't a overly physical match. They had their big moments, and then there was a lot of resting, kind of like what they did at 27, mm-hmm. but the added bonus of the cage and the fact that you have Shawn Michaels in it helped to make it better.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much did, I think, if you go back and watch it, with the exception of the chair spot, they pretty much had the same match mm-hmm. that they did at 27.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, talking with Brett in some of his matches, he's had some real winners in his time. If you ignore the match he had, the quote-unquote match he had with Vince a couple years ago, he's had a few that were... lackluster, I guess, is a fair way of describing.
You mean stiff as, you know, a piece of wood, where there's, like, no anything into the match?
Yeah, kind of. That would be a way of describing it, wouldn't it?
Really, there's no bending. No, yeah, it's just straight, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for playing along, Rock.
Well, someone's gonna, you know, pick up after your stuff.
Yeah, there you go. So everybody, if you want to catch that interview that he did with Arda Okel, you can actually go to PW Mania, www.pwmania.com, and you can actually watch it. It's a video interview.
It's a 5-minute video interview, and yeah, it's quite interesting. So go check it out. And I also recommend later go watch the interview Arda Okel did with Beth Phoenix, which was really interesting as well.
As well, yeah. Now, I think it's time for you to play.
That daughter of Kel guy seems to get everything.
Yeah, he's the hashtag.
Share the wealth, motherfucker.
He's the hashtag favorite on the internet.
Okay, come on, Maze. It's not a competition or anything.
No, not at all.
He only is the Wrestling Radio Awards host of the year.
Yeah, okay, so now you guys are like taking cheap shots at mainstream media hosts. Okay.
No.
Tim clearly missed another one. Anyway.
No, I didn't miss it at all.
Another inside joke that goes right over Tim's head.
No, I got it. I just, like...
They're the best ones.
I went hell of a field. That's like, you guys expect that, so I gotta do it.
No, attacking... No, take a shot at... taking a shot at a mainstream media host is like, you know, fuck John Madden. Fuck him and his game that's overhyped and overrated.
Wow.
Anyway.
To continue on, yeah, I think it's time for you to play that little intro clip, Brock.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Alright everybody, here it is. We were talking about Triple H. We're going to talk about Triple H a little bit more. Tonight's roundtable question. Play along in the chat room, by the way. Should Triple H be in the Hall of Fame before DX, or is it okay for DX to be in there before Triple H goes in on his own? What do you think, Lindsay?
I think Hunter should go in on his own. Before DX.
Mm-hmm.
DX should be later.
Okay. Omega?
I'd pretty much agree with that. If only... Be,
I shouldn't say that way, but I'd say yeah, he should go in after. He should go in before DX, but they should both be going in way down the line.
So the DX and Triple H should not be this year, is what you're saying?
No. And we're inducting guys that are just one generation back, and I'm sick of doing it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, before you throw it away, let me ask Omega, when would you induct Triple H?
I don't know. Like instate something that the other Hall of Fames have. You have to be retired or not have had a match in so and so years.
Okay, that's one thing with him, but you have to remember he's also going to get power, so that's where it becomes a tricky situation, I would think. Because he would then be, you know, he's putting himself into basically his Hall of Fame now, because he would be the one running the company.
Always keeping all the young talent down.
We haven't heard from Mace yet. I want to hear from Mace.
Should he go in? Yes. Should he go in before DX? Debatable. Which is why we're having this, I suppose.
yeah.
Personally, I'd like to see him go on his own, just because of the career he has. And to be honest, DX didn't exactly make him. It built the platform of which he used to become the Triple H that we have seen and actually cheered for at one point. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, after you inducted the Horsemen as a stable, anybody else just seems subpar.
So maybe they shouldn't have inducted the Horsemen when they did.
No. The Horsemen should have gone, always should be one of the first stables that you always put in if you're going to put in a stable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that to put DX in, I wouldn't really put them on par with like a Hall of Fame level stable.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, if you're going to put in a stable, honestly, I'd induct the NWO first. I mean, Hogan's in TNA, so you couldn't make him the spotlight of that. You could
put in Hall and Nash.
Yeah, Hall and Nash would be fine.
But then that brings up the debate, should Hall and Nash go in separately, or should they go in together?
Yeah, well, they should go in together. Scott Hall on his own, no.
Well, you need someone to help Scott to the podium.
Because the other argument is if you induct DX, which version of DX do you do? Do you do the entirety, which includes the Outlaws, Pac and Road Dogg, and possibly China? Or do you just do Hunter and Sean?
You just do Hunter and Sean. They were the original DX before the rest of them, first off. Secondly, the rest of them, sure, they actually made DX more popular than Hunter and Sean initially had them. But, no. I wouldn't put any of those people in the hall as members of any stable or on their own. Especially China.
China would have had a case if she hadn't made her little career change that no one likes to think about. She's just kind of an embarrassment now.
What, you mean when she started selling used cars for a living?
Yeah, that was it.
That's it. Yeah, let's refer to it that way.
Yeah. Coining a new phrase.
Used car assessment. Yeah, that works for China.
Yeah, so what'd you do last night?
She takes every single one for a ride herself.
There you go. Test drives every single one.
We got a beat up 96 here for you. It's been driven pretty hard. There's been a lot of different keys in it, and the trunk's always full.
Oh.
Yeah, we call this car the Lita.
Oh.
No. That's that rust bucket over there.
Oh. Hey, I got a Bazinga from King Kittens. That's all that matters.
So you've been seeking his approval the entire time?
No, I'm just impressed by the bazinga from the fucker, that's all.
I picture the Lita car as kind of like a rusty hazmat truck.
Okay, well, let me throw that question out to everybody else. When you do induct DX, whenever it is, do you do the entire troop?
No. Better question I throw out to everybody. What WWE wrestlers are represented by cars the best?
Stay tuned for about 20 minutes from now, won't we?
Here's cast the WWE in Cars 3.
Taker's the hearse.
Oh, yeah, that's the easy one.
Kane's the fire truck. Vince is the old grumpy car, the Hudson Hornet.
The Hudson Hornet?
Cena's the red car.
The red car?
The main character. Whatever his name is. I don't remember his name.
Lightning.
Thank you. It's been a while since I've seen Cars, so forgive me.
Okay, who would you make the Edsel?
Who?
Edsel.
Who? Which car is he?
Matty J in our chat room says, Rocks the Hummer, guesses too quickly.
Oh.
Well, it's a good thing he put guesses too quickly in there because... They're just
that would make Ultimate Warrior what, the version 1 Humvee?
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say that would have made a real private joke. So you're not gonna take a wrestler and make this particular wrestler the Edsel?
I don't know what the Edsel is.
It's a really old car. Make it Mae Young.
It was a car made by Ford that was so unsuccessful and unpopular that it gained and garnered a reputation of being the name for something that just didn't frickin' work. For instance, 80 Big Storyline would be the Edsel of Monday Night Raw.
Call it the Tensai.
Well, I could take somebody in wrestling and put it to the Edsel, as Rock just gave me the ammunition to do it, but I'll be good.
I want to make Rey Mysterio an ambulance. Just because he always seems to need one.
This one's not going to you. I'd fuck you both.
I didn't say it. I implied it, but I didn't say it. Yeah. Good God.
Fuck you both. Just for talking behind the scenes.
We Zach always talk behind Ryder. The scenes.
Zach Ryder. The Toyota Corolla.
Yoshitatsu?
Honda Prelude.
Tensai?
Ooh.
The beat-up old pickup truck that just never keeps running.
Ooh.
Something tells me I came back at the weirdest point.
You did.
Somebody came up with a great idea to take wrestlers and turn them into cars.
So wrestlers are Transformers now?
Yeah.
And it was Omega who came with the question.
No, so it's sentient vehicles, Mace.
Oh, okay, we're trying to avoid trademark infringements, okay.
There you go, yes.
I'll give you an easy one. There's Randy Orton as a Dodge Viper.
That just sounds like a bad, bad pun.
It is.
I say Evan.
But when Dodge Viper Orton actually hears voices in his head, it's because the radio's too loud. Big difference.
Evan Bourne is the VW bus.
The VW bus.
Okay, what about the Mustang?
See, that's a Cena. Is a Mustang.
Daniel Bryan is a Prius.
Yeah, it works.
No!
It so works.
No!
What's Santino?
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Santino is one of the, what is it called? The little Italian cars.
Fiat.
Fiat, thank you. He's one of the Fiats.
He's a Fiat. That wants to be a Ferrari. Hornswoggle, the Cooper Mini.
No, Hornswoggle's like a little, like, clown car.
Hornswoggle, the Vespa.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hornswoggle's the Vespa.
There you go. Now, what about the smart car? Who's the smart car?
Ooh.
Damien Sandow?
There you go, perfect. Can we cast Wade Barrett as an Aston Martin?
Yes, we totally can.
No, because that's James Bond's car.
Yes, we can. We totally can.
No. Wade Barrett is not James Bond's car. Forget it.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Do not make me get Shelby.
He follows me on Twitter now, so we can.
No!
By the way, Shelby's a tow truck.
Which wrestler would be the best one to make a celebrity appearance on Repo Games?
What the hell is Repo Games?
The Repo Man.
Oh my god. You don't know Repo Games?
The Repo Man or IRS?
Repo Games is a TV show that's on Spike. These guys that own a repo company, they go to your door when the bank says, okay, you defaulted on your payments, so you got to return your car. They give you a chance to keep your car all paid off, bought and paid for. They play a trivia game. You got 5 questions. You got to get 3 of them right. And if you get all 3 of them right, then they will pay off your car.
That's just
cool.
And
you get to keep your car, lock, stock, and barrel. If you get 3 wrong, then they repossess your car.
Lindsay, he was on the dude was on TNA at one point with the Hernandez and his other partner, not Matt Morgan, and not Homicide, the other guy in between.
Chavo.
No, not Chavo. Another guy. We've had this conversation before, and I can't remember his name every time. It was the other Mexican. So
the other Mexican. How many Mexicans were there?
At least 5. Anarchia, there you go. Thank you, guys.
No, Omega, one of them is white and bald.
Is he?
Yes. He's a white guy.
It's the attention I pay to the show.
At least you'd heard of it.
And he's back, I think.
Mace, are you back?
I don't know for how long. I don't know what the fuck is going wrong with my internet provider tonight. This is the 3rd dropout in the last 5 minutes.
Well, you know, maybe you should get a job working for an internet service provider, and that way you'll have...
I worked for these fuckers!
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry, that was a try. I apologize.
Just some asshole in the office with a plug just going in and out, in and out of the wall.
Yeah, quit working for us, huh?
I hope not.
That would just be too mean.
No, too mean would be realizing the mistake on my account that they got my staff discount.
Okay, don't say anything.
No. It's not like they'd hear this anyway. So, topic.
We're still casting wrestlers as cars, but I think we should move on.
Yeah, we should move on because we could be here all night.
Yeah, why don't we just jump into Rock's
favorite? Did anybody get Heyman?
Nobody got to Heyman, as a matter of fact.
He would be the one selling the cars.
Bagel truck.
Bagel truck? No.
It'd be the bagel truck that breaks down.
Hot dog cart?
Oh, why didn't we do this? CM Punk has an ice cream truck.
Yes!
Okay, that and one.
Daniel Bryan is a clown car?
No, he's a Prius.
He's the Prius.
Okay.
There was a debate on the clown car, but I think Hornswoggle got it.
It was Daniel Bryan was the Prius. Santino was the Fiat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Anyway, let's move on before I drop out again.
Yeah, no, this last one. Chris Jericho is the decked out lowrider.
No.
The first 30 seconds.
No, sorry. Fail.
All right, Rock.
Jericho's like a Jaguar. It's like a really good car, but every time it goes away, you think it'll come back eventually.
No, it's the Jaguar. It's like you carry around pictures of it to show people whenever it's in the shop. Buy or sell, Rock?
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell?
No! No! No!
Simply as is, buy or sell Terry Funk as the man to induct Mick Foley into the WWE Hall of Fame. Omega.
Buy. Buy in a heartbeat. It just seems appropriate. The blood feuds these guys had across the world if one inducted the other into the Hall of Fame. And Terry Funk is already in the Hall of Fame. It seems to make perfect sense.
Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it. If anybody could probably tell the best stories about Foley, it would be Funk. Just because the two have been all over the world, they've taken body parts off of each other. It's just, yeah. Funk is the most appropriate, and I think when we were all sitting there going, well, who's gonna induct Foley? I think everybody was like, yeah, Funk. It was just automatic.
Tim.
Shut up and take the money.
Okay. Buy or sell Trish Stratus being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year, Omega.
This one hurts me. It really does. She's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. Like, the best diva we ever had, best female in the WWEF, whatever you want to call it, that we've had, in my opinion. But I have to sell it just on the principle of she isn't that far gone. My love of Trish is being outweighed for the respect I want to have for the Hall of Fame.
Lindsay.
I'm going to buy it. I mean, I know she's only a generation back, and I know a lot of people have a problem with that. But if they're looking to induct a female, honestly, who else are they going to induct at this stage? May's already in. Moolah's already in. Elizabeth's already in.
No, she's not.
She's not in?
Nope, Elizabeth is not in.
I thought Elizabeth was in. My bad. Sherry's in, right?
Sherry's in, yes.
Okay, well, if you wanted to do Elizabeth, you could do Elizabeth posthumously if the family would allow it. But, I mean, at this stage, there aren't a lot of women from the 70s and the 80s that could really go in that have any prominence. Trish is one of those names that they're trying to bring star power to the induction, and she's sort of that second level behind Foley where people will come to see her. And to be fair, Trish has been semi-retired for 5 years.
Even longer. I think it's almost 7.
So she's been out a while, and she's popped up every bit as much as Foley. So I don't have as much of a problem with it. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Sunny went in last year.
2 years ago.
Last year? 2 years ago. That's right. I was there for that. Mm-hmm. Watching Tamina Snuka roll her eyes. Oh my god, that was hilarious.
Snuka rolled her eyes. What did I miss?
During, if you go back and you watch Sonny's Hall of Fame induction speech, Tamina Snuka's standing there rolling her eyes the whole time. Because okay. They've got all the divas lined up behind Sonny, and Tamina's like right behind her, and she's just standing there rolling her eyes. It's priceless. But yeah, I mean, as Spook put in the chat room, Trish has been out since September 2006, so she's been out 6 years. I think that's a suitable amount of time to be retired and to go into the Hall of Fame.
I'll just be glad that we can induct a diva that doesn't have to pawn off her Hall of Fame ring to pay bail.
And you want
Bazinga!
And you want to induct Trish when she still looks like Trish. Just, you know. Because Sunny really doesn't look like Sunny. Anyway, Tim, buy or sell?
Yeah.
Yeah, is your response?
Well, it's the WWE Hall of Fame. So, you know, Omega and his desire to have respect, that just right there to me kind of sort of rings alarm bells. seriously, it does. But, you know, and you're like, oh, it's too early for Trish to go in. Fuck you. It's been 7 years, like everybody's saying.
A whole 7 years?
Yeah, and Edge, oh my God, went in there like, what, 2 days later?
Jeez.
Right?
7 years, that's like one Tim year.
My God. There's nothing wrong with Trish going in, and yeah, there's, you know, awesome that she's going. It's just too bad that Moolah's not around to induct her, because that's who I would have had induct Trish, was the fabulous Moolah. Because as great as Trish was in her era, yeah, you cannot, like, as far as being a female wrestler, you cannot put Trish above the fabulous Moolah. Of course, that's before your time.
I just hope to God they don't have Michelle McCool and Duck Trish, because if they do, my TV's going out the window.
It should be Lita.
They yeah, had to.
Make it Lita.
My friends had to sit on me when that woman walked out on stage.
quickly.
And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I can't hit the mute button. No.
All right. Quickly.
Wait. I want to know in the chat room if that's the Spook that I think it is. Is that you, Spook?
Anyway, while we have him, Mace, buy or sell Terry Funk as the man to induct McFoley into the Hall of Fame?
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, you can lose your internet now.
No, we still have one more. Trish Stratus, buy or sell Trish Stratus going to the Hall of Fame this year? Mace.
You better just be thinking hard, you son of a...
Damn it, Tim, you cursed him.
I didn't curse him, piss off. Spooky better be here next Saturday night, man.
God. Mace, I'm sorry, man. You gotta get better internet than little tin cans with strings attached.
Alright, move on.
That's picked on.
Buy or sell TNA taking their TV show on the road full time, Tim.
Oh, damn yes! Got a lot of people saying, it's a dumb idea, stupid, blah, 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 blah. Forget it. You want to grow or you want to stagnate? You've been stagnating. Grow, goddammit. Get out on the road and do something. Just don't rent a 50,000-seat arena to sell 400 tickets.
No, they're not doing that. This time. Omega, buy or sell.
God.
He's going to say no.
You know what? Buy it. Fuck you, Rock. new crowds. I mean, when you're in the same crowd every single week, there's only so much excitement you're going to get. You've got the exact same environment, the exact same feel, the exact same people. You know, when you probably know the names of the people sitting in the front row, you're there too often.
Good point.
just being on the road just brings a lot of different excitement. The crowd's going to be more excited because they don't normally get to see TNA live. And it's going to give a different feel to every show, which it desperately needs.
Lindsay, buy or sell?
I sent them my money this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, it just the only caveat to this deal is somebody come to Utah, please.
They were actually supposed to be in Calgary to do an Impact taping last March, but they canceled.
Buy or sell the breakup of the Rhodes Scholars, Omega?
Sell? What the fuck are you doing? I have no other reaction. What the hell are you thinking?
Lindsay?
Sell it, burn it, kill it, dip it in acid. What are they thinking? Put them back together and keep them together. Them and Hell No are the only two interesting teams in the tag team division right now, and you split them up. No! Especially with Brian and Kane probably getting ready to split. No. Get the super glue and put them back together. Now!
We'll try to get Mace. The breakup of the Rhodes Scholars, buy or sell.
Come on.
Nah! All right,
These are going to be Mace's quick hits questions now.
So, if we were playing the CB radio drinking game, because it was a thing.
If you're playing the drinking game, you are fucked up right now.
Because we have this game on CB radio. If someone drops, you take a shot. Mace has dropped about, what, 6 times?
I've finished my liter and a half of red wine already.
That came in a box?
No.
That came out of your bathtub?
No, not the bathtub.
The kitchen sink?
No, not the kitchen sink.
Bathroom sink?
No.
The pot under the deck?
No. The big, huge-ass plastic container I made it in. Now fuck off, all of you.
All right, Tim, buy yourself.
I think I'm just going to window shop this one because it's a work. You guys are fucked up.
Well, we're emotionally invested.
Yeah, that's the difference. I refuse to invest my emotions in anything anymore. So
they did something interesting with Cody Rhodes, okay? I think that speaks volumes as it is. The only payoff here is if they actually do feud him with Gold Dust leading up to Mania.
Which they're probably going to do.
Yeah, because it got a huge reaction at the Rumble.
This is true. So, Tim, you're no longer most emotionally invested, which means you watch wrestling to be as a journalist?
No, I'm not emotionally invested in Sandow and Rhodes.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure that you're not covering this as a journalist.
No, I would not. I would never do that. That would be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I should hit the bumper for the next segment or wait 30 seconds.
Oh, just hit it.
Just hit the bumper.
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE Hardcore Champion of all time.
Well, as you see, Spike Dudley staggering around, and then out of nowhere, look at this! Hurricane comes flying in! He really can fly!
It wasn't a bird, it wasn't a plane!
It was Hurricane!
It was Hurricane!
And he's our new Hardcore Champion here in the WWF.
To the Hurricycle!
In hell.
No! Oh, wait a minute!
What?
Marty Molly! I don't believe it! Marty Molly has just defeated...
The Hurricane with a frying pan!
I thought she was a sidekick.
Look at, I'm the Hardcore Champion! I'm a winner, baby! Yeah! What the? What are you
doing? Hey, wait a minute! There's Maven! Maven rolling up Christian! I think Maven's regained the Hardcore title! And now he's taking Christian's cap!
Now step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
This week on the Great Debate, as we try to determine the greatest hardcore champion of all the times. Up first, Terry Reynolds takes on Tommy Dreamer Omega.
Really?
You approved it, so, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah, really.
I am so missing this one. Really?
Or change your name to Omizga. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, Tim. gee, I wonder.
All right, so one vote for Terry Reynolds.
Fuck! Yeah, don't make me drop.
Okay, so we have one vote for Tommy Dreamer from Omega.
Yeah, based solely on his New Jersey license plate belt that we saw one time.
Lindsay.
Dreamer. I mean, is there anybody here not taking Dreamer, just out of curiosity?
Tim?
No, I'm not going to choose Terry Reynolds. You're an idiot.
Wasn't saying you were going to pick him. I was just going to you.
Just saying.
All right, so Tommy Dreamer moves on. Up next, Taz takes on Funaki. Oh, my God.
This is where I have to try and remember title runs again.
Sweet. And he goes to the goggle.
To the goggle. Yes.
Goggle.
Lugal.
No, it's goggle.
No, Lugal. Watch 80s hot, watch the Hot Tub Time Machine.
No, Bruiser Schmidt calls it the goggle. So.
I don't give a fuck.
So Bruiser Schmidt says it, we're going to go with it.
Fuck. And fuck King Kittens too.
Oh, jeez.
So as Omega's looking it up, Tim, we'll go to you.
Taz.
Why?
Because you're only going to survive if he lets you.
Okay.
Funaki will just interview you to death.
And say, indeed.
Indeed.
I don't know. I like the lip-syncing gimmick. That was kind of funny.
All right, we'll go to Lindsay. Lindsay, Taz or Funaki?
That wasn't lip-syncing. It was dubbing.
Whatever.
It was a Beyonce.
Yeah, lip-syncing is what you saw at the halftime show tonight.
And a poor job of it, it was.
So who's your pick, Lindsay?
I said it, Taz.
Okay. Tim talked over you. I didn't catch your answer. Omega.
Going with Taz based purely on number, because Taz and Funaki both won it the same night during the Hardcore Battle Royal. And Taz actually managed to win it on SmackDown a week later, just to lose it to Crash.
Okay, so Taz and Tommy Dreamer move on. Next week in the Great Debate, we have Raven versus Stevie Richards. And Al Snow takes on Godfather's Ho.
Wow. Words I never thought I'd hear.
Next week on the Great Debate.
Don't lose it now, Rock.
Now, Tim, it's time.
Yeah, big battle of head versus head.
All right, that's it. Quick hits. Shut up and play the song. Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
We'll start with Lindsay. If you could play any football, any position in football, what would it be and why?
Kicker. Because it's the safest.
You don't want to be like a running back and be tackled by Clay Matthews?
No, because that would hurt. I want to be tackled by Clay Matthews outside of the football game. In the game, that would hurt.
Try this. Mace, Brodus Clay has his Funkadactyls. Tensai would have his what?
Two. One.
Geisha Dinis?
I don't know. <Geisha Dini. laughs>
What would you call his ladies? What would Tensai's ladies be called?
Well, considering the way WWE works, they just call him his geishas.
Bitches for hire.
His hippets?
The hippet. Omega has one, apparently, because he's feverishly typing it out. Oh, there goes Mace. Say it, Omega.
Say it?
Mm-hmm.
Say it.
The tit size. That's how WWE would view him. Might as well be honest.
Chat room says Twinkie tits, rice rolls.
What?
Sushi queens.
Sushi queens. They would go.
Well, we could. Well, he could have some plus size dancers, and we could have pork buns.
The sushi queens would go better with Kenshi Matsunaka of Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
The sushi chef.
Seems like, what the fuck are you guys talking about now? Anyway.
See, this is just degenerating into like food names. It's like.
First cars, now food.
We're not really picking Tensai's dancers. We're picking Curryman's.
No, Curryman is a different country altogether.
They both pretend like they came from Japan.
This is true.
But only one has a bowl of curry on his head.
This is true. Staying on the food topic, Tim.
And a glass of sake in his hand.
Yes.
Tim, how long would it take you to actually eat 287 wings?
Oh. 45 minutes.
Seriously?
I don't have a fucking clue.
Two words, shit and bull, and not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
Because at the Wing Bowl this past Friday, someone ate 287 wings in 30 minutes.
Okay, an hour.
Then you want to get the crown with wings on it. Sorry, Tim.
I would want a crown with wings. One chicken wing. Shut up.
Omega, what job do you think you would be better at, being a sports reporter or a weatherman?
Probably a weatherman, because I actually know what weather is. Like, you just feed me names, and like I don't know how to fucking pronounce this guy's name.
So you would be able.
And who the hell cares about rugby anyway?
So you'd be able to set the maps in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I'd have to bullshit so much as a sports reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well be a weatherman so people know I'm bullshitting them.
Well, that's the thing. You'd fit in perfectly because sports reporters bullshit anyway.
This is true. Before we go back to Lindsay, let's go to Mace. Mace, if you were a dog, what type of dog would you be and why?
I'd be a cute one. Enough said.
Because that's all that you probably can't say at this point.
I'm trying not to jinx it.
Lindsay, if you could star in any Super Bowl commercial, what commercial would you want to be a part of, and why?
Was it the ones tonight?
Yes.
I want the M&M ones. Because you get chocolate.
Good answer. So, Tim, if WTR were a football team, who would play what position?
If WTR was a football team?
Yes. Well, who would play what position?
Just tell Rocky be the quarterback, and that'll make him happy.
I'm just picturing the team as the team that was in the Waterboy before Adam Sandler joined it.
I'm sorry, but Rock is the quarterback. All I can think is Rock's going to be Tebow.
Fuck you, Mace. Fuck you.
All right. If WTR was a football team, I'd be the quarterback. Omega.
You'd only play one play because you'd break a hip.
Omega would be a wideout. Mace would be the running back. Lindsay, this is stereotyping. She'd be the cheerleader.
You sexist asshole.
it could be worse. My bet was on tight end.
Lindsay, do you want me to put you on the field so you can get tackled by all these guys?
Yes!
That wasn't the answer to the last question you had.
They wouldn't make it hurt.
Yeah, they would.
Well, Omega would, but that would be later.
No. You'd be on our team, numbnuts, and we'd be playing guys like those guys.
Well, all I'd have to do is flash my boobs and stop them. And, end of story.
That's it. You're our cheerleader. Uh-huh.
I don't know why I'd be a running back. That actually involves running. You obviously know nothing about me, Tim. I hate to run.
Yeah, just think of the movie Wildcat.
Put me on defense.
Mace.
Well, I'll be a blocker. That I can do.
Yeah, no, think of the movie Wildcats. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Haven't seen it.
All right, that's Tim's two movie references so far. He needs a name drop, and we can go to bed. But we got to finish this off.
I've never met Nolte. Does that count for a name drop?
No.
No. Yeah, we'll put Spug on the defense. He'll be a defensive line. And for motivational coach, Alan Woj.
Actually, wouldn't Alan be the sideline reporter?
Possibly.
Yes, he would.
By the way, speaking of football-related type things, and anybody who is able to or can catch a replay of it on Animal Planet, can somebody please record and send me a copy of the Puppy Bowl?
It's themacething@gmail.com.
Yes. But even if you find a link to it on Facebook, I want to see the Puppy Bowl.
Have you checked animalplanet.com?
You realize I'm in Australia. They do this nice little thing where they go, "This video is not available in your country."
Oh, that thing. Okay.
Download and use Hotspot Shield. That'll make it look like you're in the USA.
It takes effort.
Fuck you. It's three clicks. Takes it.
All right, so you made your team, Tim?
Now I'm reading up on Puppy Bowl, and supposedly Eric Young showed up on it this year, so there's even more reason to watch it.
Oh, man, I might actually have to find that copy if I watch it. Anyway, so you done, Tim?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, so Omega. You say you won't be an Eagle or a He-Man, but if you had to choose between the two, which costume would you wear and why?
If I had to choose the damn eagle.
Why?
Because he doesn't look like he just came out of a leather bar.
Okay, but if it was Lindsay's choice, which one do you think she would have you wear?
Still the eagle.
He knows me so well.
Hedgehog!
Alright, so there you go. That's Quick Hits for another Sunday night right here on WrestleTalk Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, and now it's time to wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in to WTR, 7 Neighbors Talk Radio, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, post Raw show. It's on 30 minutes. Well, you know, rough after Raw is over with. It'll be 11:30 Eastern Time. 3 hours worth of Raw condensed into about 50 minutes based on last week's program.
You kept track?
No, I just guessed and I was right.
Maybe, I don't remember.
Look at their guy's ding dong. Tuesday night, Ellen Wojcik interviews people who are really famous in Tallahassee, Florida. Or whatever.
I don't think he gets close to Tallahassee. Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio, special time, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the show, Primetime, Amy Lee.
There you go. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show with Cheap Wood paneling, where Jeff Schaefer decides that he's going to tell bad jokes so you don't get stuck with 2 hours worth of static. 8:30 Eastern. Hey, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you won an award.
Yeah, just a little one, you know, only best new show on the Wrestling Radio Awards for, well, my rack.
So, like, not a big deal then?
We're totally not a big deal.
And you're going to show off at 11 o'clock Eastern Thursday night, aren't you?
Yep, come listen to us talk all about TNA, all about the latest news for the week. We haven't prepped the show yet. We prep it on Wednesday night, so we have no idea what we're going to talk about until about 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning. So tune in, listen, and enjoy.
And that's a shoot.
It is a shoot.
Yeah, and Friday night, everybody, go party, have fun, watch SmackDown, because fuck all's going on here.
Or you never know, Mace may play a video game or two. Who knows? It's
a good game, you know. The original Twitch video game player user guy on the interwebs that has a site to play it on. Right?
What?
Just agree with me, everybody.
I was waiting for Mace to say something or his net to drop.
I thought net drop.
No, it's one of those things of, you know, the first guy on a radio network decided to start playing video games and entertain the people. But, you know, can't have an original idea without being stolen.
Well, that's just it, you know. Think of it as a backhanded compliment, you know. You came up with something that somebody thought, hey, that's a good idea, I'm going to steal it. Just saying. Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, CB Radio!
Yes, we'll talk about Rob's experience at Monday Night Raw this week. So tune in for that. It's CB Radio, weird, wacky, unusual. Last night we played videos of the guy who screamed and freaked out over The Rock winning, and he also did a video where he cried over the release date of Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, before
he's
that.
He's a very special person.
Before you do your CB radio shit, there might just wind up being something interesting going on with a live video feed on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey,
wrestling, hey, you never know.
Canadian All-Pro Wrestling presents Vicious Valentines this coming Saturday night, February the 9th, at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1, located 116 7th Avenue, Southeast Calgary, Dramatic Pause, Alberta, Canada. And you get a chance to see Hotshot Johnny Devine defend his Commonwealth title. The world title just might be up for grabs. You never know what's going to happen. We talked earlier this evening to Superfly Dan. He'll be in action taking on Maverick Mike Briggs. Guys, get into Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. It's a lot of fun. It's a great time. Those of you who aren't in the Calgary area, we got a bit of a surprise for you. Stay tuned to the network on the website. It'll be announced. A couple of you already know what I'm alluding to, and we're not going to bald-face drop the announcement until closer to Saturday. But you'll want to be checking out the Wild Talk Radio Network, say around 8:30 Eastern Time, Rock.
Sounds about right. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network for all the updates on what Tim's talking about.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Canadian All-Pro Wrestling limited edition T-shirts available as of Wednesday.
Yes.
More details to follow at www.canadianallpro.com.
Yes.
And, of course, next Sunday night, more Rust Talk Radio. Yay.
Yes. We'll be back at 10 p.m. Eastern. and all the fun stuff. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. We have some interesting conversation that goes on there.
Okay, we're done. Go home.
That's a terrible ending, Tim.
Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. We'll catch you throughout the week right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Have yourself a safe night. Remember, if you're drinking, don't drive. You might spill your beer.
That was even worse.
Buy the shirt.
They're still shirts?
They're brand new as of Wednesday.
WildTalkRadio.com